Ecclesiastes chapter 7 this evening. We were in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. Now we turn ahead to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5. Hear now the word of God. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Again, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. This topic comes up for our consideration this evening. It was inspired, or at least there was an impetus to consider thinking about it further. The trustees' devotion this week, led by Deacon Renner on Tuesday, he gave us a devotion based on Proverbs 25, 11 to 12. I won't be able to share with you the commentary he included, but I do want to share the verse with you, which was kind of the springboard for this consideration this evening. Proverbs 25, verses 11 to 12 reads, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." So mainly, you're very familiar, of course, with those verses, especially the first part. Words spoken just right at the right time in the right way. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver, earrings of gold. It's like ornaments of fine gold. It's just very, very valuable to us. It was a reminder to us as leadership, also serving as session together, to go out of our way to make a rebuke as easy to receive as possible. And there's a lot of ways you can do it. And, you know, looking at the Lord as our example in scriptures, you try to be patient and careful. We even consider the degrees of formal discipline. We're thinking about rebuke more informally tonight and in general. But there's a way to go about it as best you can. You want to first try to go about it in a way that is as easy as possible to receive. Still, we noticed that some can take a harsh rebuke and work with it, while others can be given the most careful correction and spit it back in our faces. I'm sure you have had the same experience. Some can gargle the original Listerine or swallow down castor oil with no hesitation and benefit immediately without complaint, while others refuse to even sniff or taste grape-flavored, chewy, gummy medicine covered in honey, simply because they know it's a correction. You know, we did comment to one another how much an obedient ear is needed for a rebuke to be received wisely and lovingly and thus effectively. It's interesting when you consider that proverb. It says how much about it is to receive golden words, you know, just very appropriately well-spoken words of rebuke. We tend to not think of that in the context when we frame that scripture on our walls at home, right? But the interesting thing is it says, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So such is not the case for a disobedient ear. Those words are lost on them, or frankly, they become ugly to them. They have no value to them. They have no benefit. It's only the obedient ear that can take carefully spoken, well-prepared, loving rebuke to help a brother or sister. And this reminded us of our recent study we had together on a Wednesday night, reviewing an article that I wrote for placefortruth.org on the topic of rebuke. And in that case, we were thinking of an informal church discipline. And we looked at a sermon that was preached 2 years ago in Leviticus 19:17. And the message of that sermon was, it is loving to rebuke. It is loving to correct and rebuke someone, because you're not avoiding dealing with them when you know they might just smack you in the mouth for it. They might say all kind of nasty things against you. They might cut your head off, as it were. But because you love them, you continue to try. The question is, will it be received as fatherly care and reciprocal love of a humble, wise, obedient son? Recently, I tried to give Gideon some teething gel. He was going through a pretty strong teething episode, and it was kind of funny. We were laughing because we thought, okay, we're going to get a good sleep tonight, and then he woke up, and he was crying, and we kind of laughed as I went to try to rock him. Well, there goes that, but we thought we'd still get to bed, and then it was one of those all-nighters kind of a thing. I tried to give him some teething gel, and there's a certain teething gel that works pretty well, but he just kept his mouth shut tight like this. And that kid is strong, man, including with his jaw. And I'm like, come on, little buddy. Come on now. God is going to help you. Not trigger. Not trigger. And I don't know if it's because we're teaching him to eat solid foods and he's not always wanting to do that. So, you know, and it's funny. He even knows, starts shaking his head. He even starts saying no, no, no today. I'm like, when did he start saying that? He also starts saying mama today. That was pretty neat. And he went out. He went straight for mama. So that's kind of neat. But it was this. He just didn't want to take it. And I laughed. I said to mommy, boy, we think Gabriel's stubborn sometimes. Gideon, we thought he was going to be the cool, calm guy, but he's stubborn too. It's just in a different way. And he's stronger. He's really strong. Oh, man. He's like this tank. He doesn't have to carry on with drama because there's no moving that kid if he doesn't want, or if he wants to move, there's no stopping him. It takes two or three of us to change that kid's diaper, you know. And so here he was, I'm not taking the teething gel, Father. You know, there was no motion. There was just cool, calm lockjaw, you know. I mean, I barely pried it open and I kind of got it in there, risking my digit being chewed off, you know, because he's got those choppers now. And so basically, I didn't really give him much teething gel on his teeth, and we had a difficult night, and he had a difficult night. He only benefited a little. For whatever reason, he refused to take the medicine as gently as I tried to give it, and as sweet and tasting and soothing as it is. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way, but not for those who refuse to take it no matter what. Who don't want to admit they have a fever. And thus they don't get the much needed medicine that would help them if they could have a mouth to receive it. Or rather, an ear to hear. This scripture, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 5, teaches that it is wise to prefer listening to rebuke of the wise to improve you, rather than the flattery of fools who use you. Let me repeat. It is wiser to prefer listening to the rebuke of the wise to improve you rather than the flattery of fools who use you. A similar scripture we owe so many times think of related to that, Proverbs 25, verses 5 to 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke, that means you're having to be exposed for what you're doing because you are not keeping it private, and so it has to be dealt with publicly, and it's better to rebuke and open than to be secretly loved with sinful advice that is lies and not scriptural and not from Christians. Rather, the proverb continues, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Well, what is a wound, children? It's like if you get a knife that cuts you. Recognize this is a figurative expression. But if you get cut and it hurts and you're bleeding because someone uses the sword of the word as their tongue to tell you you're sinning and doing wrong, it's better for that to happen to you in open and be exposed and changed to be better than to listen to the lies of fools who are singing their songs of flattery to take advantage of you. So in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5, our text this evening, the emphasis is on who will you listen to? Or will you listen at all? Just as in Proverbs 25, verse 12, where it says, the obedient ear is the only one that can receive the golden words of rebuke. Only the obedient ear. And literally, it's the listening ear. It's the hearing ear. Obedience is hearing and listening. Remember, James tells us, be slow to speak and quick to listen and quick to understand, because the wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Those who will not listen to rebuke are like stubborn mules or donkeys, stiff-necked, hard-hearted fools. That's the way the Bible talks about the people in the Bible who will not respond to the rebuke and correction of those who God sends to do it, according to his word. What is being said is for their own good and God's glory, and yet it is ridiculed, it is despised, and it is rejected in the response. So they prove to be fools instead of wise. That's what our scripture says. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for man to hear the songs of a fool. You are who you listen to. You listen to the wise, you're wise if they have to rebuke you. You listen to the song of fools who flatter, you're foolish. The Proverbs say elsewhere that fools can't hear the correction of the wise. So they prove to be fools instead of wise. The Proverbs are intending to teach you how to be wise. So often that means being able to keep your mouth closed and listen to the words of someone who has something to teach you, including about yourself. But so many close their eyes and plug their ears and yell, I can't hear you, if they stick around long enough to do that. But Jesus so often said in the Gospels, and he said it as a sevenfold refrain in the letters to the churches of Asia, have ears to hear. The great Shema in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 is, hear, O Israel. But he said that before. In Moses summons the Israelites to receive the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, and it starts with hear. Israel. Deuteronomy 5, 1 to 6, remember, it essentially taught us, listen, learn, and live for your Lord. But it has to be in that order. You won't live for your Lord if you won't live for him. Excuse me, you won't live for your Lord if you won't learn from him. And you won't learn from him if you won't listen to him. And he speaks through his word, by his spirit, through his people, especially those in office, in family, church, and state, and who have experience listening and learning from these same texts and experiences for themselves in life as they seek to live better for the Lord in their lives. The Proverbs further make this contrast. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Just like our scripture tonight says, you want to listen to the wise. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Just as the Proverbs 25 says, you take the rebuke of the wise as gold and ornaments. If it is that for you, it means you have an obedient listening ear. You don't want to be the first part, a scorner who will hate you. Some people will hate you for rebuking them, and that's why we often don't do it, because we don't want to be hated. We want to be liked. Proverbs 19, verse 25, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Smite the scorner, and it doesn't say the scorner will beware, it'll say the simple, those who are willing to listen. The simple people, just as it said in the Gospels, the common people heard Christ gladly. The scorner is not said to beware, but the simple will see it and they'll be concerned not to make the same mistakes. And then it goes on to say again, if you reprove or you rebuke someone who has understanding, he will understand knowledge. He'll just have more understanding. A person who has understanding and wisdom, who knows the scriptures and the Spirit has enlightened to believe them and wants to grow in them, will be able to. It doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean we just respond perfectly immediately, but we can get there because the Spirit's working with us with understanding of his word, saying, I know this is true. I need to submit and receive it. The preacher of Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5, urges you to be the former of those kinds of proverbs, not the latter. Not being the one who hates. He wants you to be the latter. Be the one who loves the one who rebukes you, and be the one who receives it as understanding that improves your understanding. I thought of a message Ron Renner sent this week as we grieved over something that we got a call from another pastor from another place dealing with an ongoing long thing, and we find our concern about never really being able to receive a rebuke. And that call even educated me that when I gave a rebuke and it was responded with great defiance, even at that moment, there was actually guilt for what I was challenging in the past that I didn't even know about at that moment. And there's a concern that some just can't receive a rebuke. They only respond in anger and aggression and defiance, even when it's true and they know it. And Mr. Renner shared this statement he read somewhere. I don't know where it was from. It says this: there are three things a sinner will not think about without grace. Sin, death, and the day of judgment. Without grace, we won't think about those things. And that's the scary thing. Without grace, we just recognize some people, whatever they like to say, at the end of the day, prove they're not worried about those things. They won't think about those things. And if they're not thinking about those things later, they won't listen to rebukes and corrections to avoid them now. Becky Cervantes came to me after our Wednesday study where we studied the issue of rebuke and church discipline and reminded me, and I mentioned it at the trustees meeting and we sang it tonight, and I think it really could be the application of how we need to respond to rebuke. She mentioned Psalm 141, verse 5, and may this be your response and may it be my response when we are righteously rebuked. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Notice he says, let someone who's righteous, who's wise, and is rebuking me, and they are in the authority and knowledge and experience to do so with the word of God, let them correct me. Let them rebuke me. Let them reprove me. Here's how I will respond. Thank you. Thank you for being so kind to bring me to that attention so that I don't continue in that sin and risk destruction that comes from it. Thank you for that excellent oil. Ah, it's like an ointment upon me. It's cleansing and refreshing me, helping me see the error of my ways. So I turn back to Christ, and I pray the Holy Spirit helps me not to quench him and not to grieve him any longer. I know it's not going to break me, other than to break me and give me a broken and contrite spirit. And that is the kind of person that God draws close to. Remember, he that trembles at God's word. Now, that psalm is quite the psalm and should be our response. I think it's so powerful and such an important application for you and I to be ready to apply in our own life when we're rebuked that I'd like to repeat it. Psalm 141, verse 5, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." Notice he says, and when they're in trouble later, I'll pray for them because of what they did for me. I won't forget them. I'll cover them in prayer when they're in trouble, as I was. Now that is a wise and loving response to the correction of those who truly care about you. That is an obedient ear or a hearing ear. That is knowing it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise rather than the songs of fools, rather than the flattery of an enemy. That's being mindful of Hebrews 13, verse 5, when we do think more formally about church rebuke. Not receiving the rebuke and correction of your elders will bring grief to them, the Bible says, but also it will be unprofitable for you. So too with all who are just trying to help you grow in grace in God. When they come to you and try to correct you and help you see the truth according to the word, and you don't want to see or hear it, and you're not willing to admit or to change, you're just going to bring grief to them. And also, it will not be profitable for you. If nothing else, to continue in that kind of lifestyle, and that kind of way of relating and reacting, it will never bless you because it violates God's word. It's ultimately shunning God's rebuke through his word and not listening to the Spirit. When you receive rebuke, remember it is love and it is truth from God in Christ. I want to ask you, do you think as a church or as individuals, you could receive the following rebukes? If I were to say this to you or a visiting preacher was to say this to you, could you receive this as a church? Let's say just as a church, if you receive this rebuke from a minister or an itinerant preacher, could you receive it? And could you respond to it in love and wisdom? Could you receive this? "Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Could you receive this one? "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrines of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Could you receive this rebuke as a church? "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Could you receive this? "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Lastly, can you receive this one? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Notice that last one. I know you think you're rich. I know you think you're holy. I know you think you're following me, but the truth is the opposite. You don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. Repent, or I'll puke you out of my mouth. You disgust me so much. Could you receive those kinds of rebukes? Because that's Jesus talking, as you know, to the churches in Revelation chapters 1 through 7. We were once counseled by another minister that perhaps our letters were a little strongly worded. We reminded them this is at the last process of years in the making of very careful, careful words and letters, finally to the point that we have to get tough because it's not working. And we said, before you might give us critique, we invite it, and they never have, we would encourage you to go see what Jesus says to the churches of Asia and think about whether we are nearly as harsh as he is with his church. That's Jesus speaking very harshly. He actually says, I will kill your children if you don't repent, if you don't respond to my rebuke. Do you love Jesus? Do you say that you love Jesus? Then can you take a rebuke from him through his word and through his people and by the Holy Spirit? Or do you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit because you're too stubborn and you do not want to change? Do you want to have the wisdom of Jesus Christ? Then can you take his rebuke humbly? Can you receive it as wise through the messengers, and you don't kill the messengers, and you don't go to the messengers who lie to you and don't speak the scriptures and don't love Christ and could care less about obeying him? We all like to have people tell us we're okay. We want to think and feel like everybody approves of us. But most people will lie to us if they aren't in the word and they aren't concerned to live it themselves and they haven't taken rebuke and changed and repented and continue to be able to receive it in wisdom. Jesus loves his little children enough to discipline them. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's Jesus again, Revelation 3:19, after he gets done giving a tongue-licking to the church of Laodicea and all of the churches except for two that are small and hurting but actually trying to serve Jesus and humble. Jesus says, look, whoever I love, I rebuke. If I really love you, I'm going to tell you the truth about you and how you need to change for me, says Jesus. I'm not going to let you do what I say I hate. I'm not going to pretend it's okay. I call you to be zealous for my truth and to repent of your sins. And what is repentance? We know it's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a turning away from the sinful pattern, and it's turning towards God with the apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, with a complete commitment to new obedience. Repentance leads to life. Rebuke is meant to lead to repentance. Acts 11:18, repentance unto life. and certainly not only for eternal life, but for a more abundant life in Christ. Repentance leads to a good life of living a right way in obedience to the Word of God. And that comes often from hearing the Word of God that we either were ignorant of or ignored until we can bow to that Word of God and repent and say, I'm not God and you are God. When Christians rebuke their brethren, they show they love them. Parents who chasten their children love them. In fact, remember the Proverbs teach that if you won't spank your children, you actually hate them, it says, very directly. Elders and ministers that call church members to repentance love them. Want to try to see them saved from the direction they are headed and all its consequences. Save from the misery that is obviously encompassing them and ruining all around them. Hate abusively abandons and avoids. Love compassionately confronts and corrects and is willing to take the risk that you're going to get punched in the face and stabbed in the stomach and then in the back again and again for doing so. But love is willing to sacrifice and be sacrificed for the sake of someone else potentially changing. It's contrary to much contemporary church culture. But the truth is, again, it is loving to rebuke. And that was the message preached originally for Leviticus 19:17 once again. And Leviticus 19:17 commands, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. See, the scripture says if you hate your brother or sister, you won't even try to rebuke them. You won't be willing to suffer the cost of that. You don't love them enough to have them hate you. Leviticus 19:17 teaches that citizens of a sacred society love one another enough not to leave them unchallenged in sinful living. But what of those receiving the loving rebuke? And that's what we're thinking about tonight. Will they wisely love in return, or will they reject it in hatred and pride? Foolish denial and defense. It is loving to rebuke. It is also loving to receive rebuke. And it is emphasized in these scriptures we've looked at tonight, it is wise. If you can't take a rebuke, it shows you have no wisdom according to the scriptures. When you take a wise rebuke, it'll help you learn how to live better the abundant life given to us in Christ, who is wisdom himself. If you respond to rebuke with excuses, if you respond to rebuke with blame shifting, denial, aggressive attacks, and other distractionary tactics, you are showing yourself, according to the Bible, therefore, according to God Almighty, to be a fool and to be unloving. If you instead respond to rebuke with listening, silence, acceptance, grief, self-examination, acknowledgement of the truth, repentance, and thankfulness, then the Bible says, and thus God Almighty says, that you are wise and you are loving. I can't help but think today, my wife said as we were driving home, one of her pastors has said, there's a reason we only have one mouth but two eyes, one mouth and two ears. Because as the Proverbs teach us and as James teaches us again, we're to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and quick to understand, so that we don't express the wrath of man that does not bring about the righteousness of God. Once again, if you respond to rebuke with excuses, blame shifting, denial, aggressive attacks, and other distractionary tactics, you are showing yourself, according to the Bible, to be a fool and unloving. But if you respond to rebuke with listening, silence, acceptance, grief, self-examination, acknowledgement of the truth, repentance, and thankfulness, the Bible says you are wise and you are loving. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. It's better ultimately. Why? Because of what it says about you and what it says about will ultimately become of you. The choice is yours. May you choose to wisely and lovingly receive righteous rebukes. And that is the message for you this evening. Wisely and lovingly receive righteous rebukes. God helping us. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we do acknowledge that it is loving to rebuke, and you say yourself, I rebuke them whom I love, therefore be zealous and repent. And we confess that we are not zealous nearly as we should be for your ways, for your word, for prayer, for holiness. We are zealous about worldly things, the lust of the flesh and the pride and eyes of life. Lord, we do acknowledge that we don't respond to rebuke wisely. We're quick to hate it and the messenger. We love flattery. We love to be well spoken and thought of, including for our pride and sin and foolishness. We look to get the advice of the songs of fools and the flattery of the enemy, and we drink that down gladly when it is poison to us. And we won't take the mouthwash and the medicine that doesn't taste or feel good, but would heal us and help us restore, rejuvenate, and revive and reform us. Have mercy. Give us humility. Cause us to hold our tongue. Cause us to be slow to speak, quick to listen, quick to understand. Protect us from unjust anger and wrath that will not bring about your righteousness, so therefore it will bring about the opposite upon our own heads and lives in the end. Let us look ahead to where that trail leads and turn unto the way that leads unto life. Few there be that find it. Turn us to you who are the way of life and the truth. Help us to remember that Satan is the father of lies. Help us not to be like Adam and Eve, who so quickly listened to him to make ourselves feel powerful and godlike. Help us to listen to you, O God, and trust that if we don't believe you, we will die. O Lord, bless us with your life. Strengthen and bless our life with wisdom and love. Help us to recognize the messengers of the scriptures in truth. We pray, speaking it indeed in love, are to be loved and responded to. O Lord God, Let us be the one who are wise and love those who rebuke us. Let us be the ones who are wise to receive reproof as understanding to improve our knowledge. Let us recognize our real friends who are faithful to rebuke us in public. Let us, O Lord, have obedient ears to take a careful and godly rebuke as beautiful ornament to hang on us and in our heart and in our house. O Lord God, let our response to your rebuke to us through Nathan the prophet, through the word of God, through your ministers, through our family and friends and brethren, through our officers of the church, let our first response be influenced by the Holy Spirit, that we would respond with these words: let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Lord, let us wisely and lovingly receive righteous rebukes for your glory, for our good, for the example to our children, and for the advancement of your kingdom, and for a witness to the world that we have the wisdom of God in Christ indeed. And if we don't, we show ourselves to be fools, potentially outside of Christ indeed. Let us shiver and shudder at these thoughts. Sober us up, O Lord, to be serious and sober-minded, and cause us to be quick to listen and quick to repent and change. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and all your people said, amen.